Welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean, and we are...
Sorry we're late.
Yeah, we're... Well, here's the thing. You know, I wasn't sure if we were going to be able to put something out. You know, typically by this point, we're just kind of like, okay, we're not going to be able to do it. And typically, you know, we try to get something out, like we try to record on like a Wednesday, you know, or something like that. And then we just release it on Thursday or Friday. It's kind of how it's been. But
we've just been busy as fuck lately. October's a really busy month for us.
Yeah.
We had our anniversary. We went up to the mountains. That was a dick dance.
That was a dick dance.
An absolute dick dance. So that sucked some dicks. Then we went to go see wrestling.
On Monday.
And then on Wednesday, we went to see Tool, which was actually great.
No, I'll say the show is good. It was just a lot of
a
lot of activities.
Doing stuff. And then, you know, I had to go see my parents. And then we had a movie marathon, which we'll talk about here in a minute. And it's just like, holy fuck. Like, where did all the time go? So, sorry about that. I apologize.
Yeah, no.
Life got
in the way this week, so we just
fucking
wanted to.
Life,
we're just gonna record something real. It's gonna be a shorter episode.
Yes. So, and just to tell you right now, we are going to talk about Joker. It is going to be full of spoilers. If you do not want spoilers for Joker, I suggest you turn this off, watch Joker, and then come back.
Or if you
spoiler.
Yeah. Or if you want to wait until, you know, because we'll probably do it like halfway through.
Yeah.
So once we get
We'll tell you before we start talking about it for sure. Well, but I just want to say that up front. There will be spoilers.
Don't want to surprise Joker, though.
Nope. Nobody's going to get surprised, spoilered on this show.
Mm.
And I don't want to hear, like, man, I didn't know. Yes, you did.
Yeah, we warned you.
Yeah.
You'll see, but, you know, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, I want to bring this up. There's an article. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so there is a paper here in Denver that's been around since I was a kid. It's like a little indie newspaper. I'm sure most every city has one. L.A. used to have one, and then it was bought out by horrible dicks. But it's called The Westward.
Yeah.
And I've been reading The Westward since forever. You know, you get it at like coffee shops and record stores, whatever. And they're online too. And I used to look in The Westward to see what shows were coming. That's how I used to find out about bands. Because I love bands. And I would like cut out like the little advertisement. And I'd like keep it with my ticket stub or whatever.
Those were always fun.
Yeah.
Because like, that was also a way.
Sometimes it was like a picture of the band. Sometimes it was like the logo.
Well, what's fun about just real quick, like what I always enjoyed about that is like that's how I found out just about a lot of shows.
Yeah. Oh,
just
same.
Reading that. Because, you know, it wasn't like.
That's the only way you knew.
Yeah. Like it wasn't. I mean, obviously the internet was around, but it wasn't.
It wasn't really the thing it is today.
It wasn't a thing where it's like, oh man, this band's going on a tour and now I know all these dates.
Right.
Like you just all of a sudden were just sitting around just like, oh, Biohazard's coming.
Yep.
You know, and they're coming with this band and then this local band's opening up. Great. I'm gonna go see that show.
Oh, Snake River Conspiracy's coming in Fort Collins. I should go see that, which I did. So anyway, it's all, you know, Denver stuff. And they had an article about the top, and I put this on our Facebook page, but it's the top 10 nerdtastic Denver-based podcasts.
Do you have that up right now?
I do not have it up right now, but I can get it.
Well, I'll bring it up because our buddy, friend of the show, John Ekstrom of his podcast, John of All Trades, sent myself and Jen a message being like, hey, did you see this?
And I was like, no.
Nah, man. And I was like, oh, I guess that's the thing we're doing.
Hey, look, somehow somebody, Teague Boland,
who is a writer for The Westward. I don't know if this has shown up in the print version.
Oh, that I do not know. I have not been able to find a print version.
It is on Westward. If you go to our page, you know, you'll find it, and I'll tweet it out and stuff like that, which, of course, Worst Collection Ever is our page, and also our Twitters, Angry Hero Sean.
And Jen Stansfield.
And Instagram is Angry Hero Sean.
And same, Jen Stansfield. So yeah, so they put up over some podcasts, and it was really exciting.
The title is the 10 of the best nerdtastic Denver podcasts.
Yeah, and we made the list, surprisingly enough. Worst Collection Ever made the list. So that's really awesome. So thank you to whoever told Teague about that. or Teague, if you're listening, thank you.
I'm gonna need to find kind of want to find out how that came about, but
that's really cool, and we're very excited about it. So yeah, you can read that and check out those other cool podcasts that are listed. They've got a bunch of really cool like film and movie and comic book ones.
Some of these I am familiar with, like Real Nerds. I'm familiar with. They are actually I did meet those guys at the Denver Pop Culture Con.
Yes.
So I met them. There's also a podcast called Motherfucker in a Cape.
Great title.
That's a great title
for a fucking podcast. I love it.
Actually, these guys, the guy that hosts it is one of the guys at the Mutiny Information Cafe.
Hmm. So, oh, okay. Yeah.
That's a place that I've been wanting to dig into a bit and see. We were down by that area, but we didn't actually get a chance to go inside. But I definitely want to go in there. He has a few other cool ones. Broadcast Geeks. 5280 Geek, Beyond the Trope, Dynamic Duel, DC versus Marvel. Oh, this is actually kind of cool. Actually, I'm going to check this out. So I'll put over these guys. I'll put over everybody here. They talk about, you know, DC versus Marvel, and they did Creeper versus Nightcrawler.
Oh, neat.
Starfire versus Sunspot, Catwoman versus Hellcat, so...
Catwoman wins.
Yeah, and they go beyond the usual who would win in a foot race. Like, they're really going deep. That's something cool. And then there's us, the Jabronis, Jabroni Podcast. And then Coverville, which is hosted by a fellow named Brian Ibbett. And this podcast has been around for a very long time.
Oh, yeah?
Since 2004. He's one of the first podcasters, and I've always seen the Coverville name pop up a lot when it comes to, like... You know, people picking like those podcast awards and stuff like that. Like it's pretty ubiquitous in that regard because it's been around for so long. And Mile High Game Guys, Colorado Matters, which is a show on Colorado Public Radio, but also a geek podcast of sorts. Yeah. So yeah, check that out on our website. I would read the review, but I figured I want you to go there and actually read it.
Yeah, check it out.
And check out the rest of those people and get hip to all those names, because there's a lot of cool shows on there that I need to check some of those out. You know, yeah. That's the one thing I always say about podcasting is that the way that people get into other shows is by listening to other shows or just by, you know, word of mouth. Like, it's a very interesting medium in that it's not like a TV shows and stuff like that, where it's just like, oh, here's a listing of all the stuff that's coming up, you know, on this medium. Like, you have to go out and seek it out. And so a lot of times it's easier to hear about people talking about these shows and discovering that a certain show exists and all that. And that's usually, you know, the fun part of it. So thank you, Westward, for giving us some props. So let's talk about these movies we saw yesterday.
Yeah, so the Alamo Drafthouse has a thing called Dismember the Alamo, and they have it, you know, nationwide. And it's a horror movie marathon. It's great. You know, we were able to do that when we were in L.A., and like New Beverly and stuff like that. So we went to this one. And what I liked about this, as I am an old woman, I liked that it wasn't overnight. It like started at noon and wasn't supposed to get out till 9. And I was like,
like an actual marathon should be.
Also, there were people and I could order booze or coffee or food or whatever. And I didn't have to fucking worry about it.
Yeah. Much more comfortable.
Much more comfortable. So we went and it's, of course, a mystery. They never tell you what films are going to show. But these had, it took me a while to figure it out, but these have a loose medical theme.
Well, that's something I didn't pick up on until, like, you pointed a bunch of the stuff out at the end. And I was like, well, I mean, I picked up on it halfway through, but then, like, all this other stuff you're pointing out. And I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So, like, it was like a loose medical theme. So we ended up watching a movie called Nightmare, which I don't know what year that's
1981.
From 1981, called, and everything was on 35mm, which was great.
Well, it was great, but there was
except
some...
Except two of them broke.
Well, two of them broke, halfway but through. Also I feel that, especially the Dead Kids movie, like the red hue...
It was really
was
red.
Really red. It was really red. And I know that's just how it is, and that's something that you just have to deal with when you watch a 35mm film that's from 1981.
Right, old
but,
ones.
Yeah, you know, but that's just how it is, and you just kind of have
you
to...
You just deal with it.
Just deal with it.
Yeah, it was a little red, though.
It was a little red.
So we watched Nightmare, and that one was about like a dude who was like on some sort of drug so he wouldn't like kill, but it didn't work, and et cetera, et cetera.
The anti-kill drug.
Yeah, it didn't work. So that was fun.
Well, you wouldn't have a movie if it did work. Oh, he hasn't committed any murders. He's doing well. Nightmare.
Yeah, pretty much. And let's check. Oh, he's doing well. Okay.
Oh, he's holding it on job.
Right. Yeah, he's not killing anybody.
Oh, look at him. He's dating.
Oh, he hasn't murdered at all. Good for him. Then we saw the movie Altered States, which I believe is from 1980.
Yeah, Altered States is a film that...
I don't know if I would necessarily call it horror, but it definitely has a...
It's a body horror kind of ish.
Yeah, it's a
very sci-fi thrill. It's got a lot of genres going on in there.
Yeah.
It's got one of those movies that, like, I've heard of for years, because it's just one of those... Like, you would go to, like, a video store, and you would just see the box. And it was the way that the box was is a picture of what is... It's an upside-down William Hurt with a bunch of things tacked to his head, but it's tilted right side up, so it looks like... You know, it's how it's supposed to be, but it's not. And, you know, it's about William Hurt, which, by the way, this was his first film role.
I don't know if you knew that.
Because he was a stage actor for, like, you know, a long time.
Oh.
You know, starting out. And then he got this film role. And I guess it's also this movie was written by Patty Chayefsky, who's like a...
It was based on a novel.
It was based on a novel by... Patty Chayefsky, I think.
I believe that is correct.
And it was also, he wrote the screenplay, but he's also, like, Patty Chayefsky is, like, this very well-regarded screenwriter and playwright who also did, fuck me, I can't think of what else he did. He did something else. Network.
Oh.
He wrote Network, and he wrote a bunch of stuff in, like, the 60s and 70s. So this was, like, his last movie he did before he died.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so basically it's about...
I mean, I'm glad I saw it.
I'm glad I saw it, too. It was about basically William Hurt is a doctor who
there's a scientist
who takes a bunch of – he's really into doing like mind-altering shit.
Yeah, there's like a whole thread where he was like, I used to be able to see angels and then I didn't. And then that's like never mentioned again and he like never starts seeing angels again. Then he starts seeing like the first man and he becomes the first man.
Yeah.
And his genetics regress him into like
he becomes into a small monkey man
yeah.
that runs loose in the zoos of Boston.
No, that it's ridiculous. And he like it is silly. And there's a lot of like him running around being like, I need the essential truth. It's a lot of like, I even told Sean in the movie theater, I was like, calm down, Mulder. Like, whatever the fuck, dude. Like, I've had enough of dudes running around screaming about how they need the truth on TV.
Yeah, yeah. No, but he was out.
Read my X-Files review, by the way. Anyway.
Yeah, he was out there. This guy's just running around. And, you know, I also want to say there's a lot of random nudity in these movies we watched.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At least in the first two. Definitely the first two.
Definitely in the first two. Not so much in the last two.
I don't think the second last one had any.
Yeah.
Maybe it did.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, not just female nudity, but like male nudity.
Oh, yeah.
Like we had buns and.
Oh, well, you almost saw that dude's dick.
We almost had some dicks.
You had a little bit of dick because he's like in a lot of. In Altered States, he's in a lot of sensory deprivation tanks.
Yeah.
And he always has to get pulled out of them because shit's going wrong. So there are a lot of moments where, like, they kind of flop him over to the side and you almost see a ball.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Willie Hurt's like going. He was also doing
an Al Bundy on the streets of New York.
At
the very beginning of the movie, him and his buddy are like, they're in a tank. And they're like, wow, I was hallucinating in this tank. Wasn't that cool? Let's go have like a beer. And he walks out the front door and he has his hand tucked into his jeans like Al Bundy as he's walking.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is that guy doing? I don't know why he never did it again.
That's right. This thing wasn't like a thing where he just kind of walked around.
Like that was his thing.
The town.
Like his habit or
like
something.
He didn't do it as a monkey man.
Right. It wasn't like a nervous habit and you're just like, yeah, we keep telling him not to do it, but he keeps doing it or whatever. It's just he did it once and he never did it again. And I was like, why was that even in that shot?
I'm trying to remember a bunch of other William Hurt movies if he's ever done that. Like he was a Thunderbolt Ross. In the Marvel movies.
But did he...
I don't know if he was Al Bundying in those movies.
I don't
remember. In the Marvel MCU, you know, we got some Al Bundy action going on.
Do you think you could ask him at a con? Excuse me, William Hurt.
Excuse me. In Altered States in 1980, you put your hand in your pants like Al Bundy. But just one scene. Did you ever consider doing that as Thunderbolt Ross? Do you think that would have made a good acting choice? Thank you. I'm going to sit down. Will Hurt would just get up and walk out because he's like, I'm not like an accomplished actor. Well, go fuck
yourself.
Remove
that man. You're like, good call, William Hurt.
Yeah, you're right. I should be removed. Thank you.
You are correct. You should not take this from this audience.
I would remove myself, but I kind of want the dignification of being removed.
Away.
I want to be dragged. I'm not going to fight. I just want to be dragged.
It's always been my dream to be dragged out of a concert. Could you please make that happen for me?
Oh man. So yeah, but that was the second film. I did pop because once the theme started coming up or whatever, and you know, about the night they were watching stuff, there would be a girl in between each of these things, and she'd come out and she'd be like, all right, well, here's the next movie and we're going back into teachers and whatever.
Yeah.
And whatever. And I just go to Jen. I just go, is this Altered States 2? And the guys next to me, who was just like, these dudes just watch the thing. They popped. So I was kind of like, oh man, that was pretty funny.
Good job, babe.
Yeah. So that was cool.
Good jokes.
Second movie or third movie was a movie called Dead Kids.
It's
AKA Strange Behavior.
It's known as Strange Behavior, but I guess it's also known as the name. It's officially called Strange Behavior.
It's officially called Strange Behavior, but on Amazon Prime, it's called Dead Kids.
It's called Dead Kids. It's one of those. It has two names. And that's also from 1981.
Yes.
And that has a lot to do with like drugs and like experiments and, you know, kids killing other kids.
Well, it's basically, okay, so first of all, this is a New Zealand movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Pretty much shot from primarily New Zealand, but they said it was Illinois.
Yeah, it was definitely, that's what they were saying, because the guy, it's like some dude rolls in like halfway through the thing, because they're like, we need help from Chicago, and like the most stereotypical Chicago detective rolls in,
yeah,
where he's like this huge fat guy, where he's just like,
just constantly sweating, and he's eating and drinking, and
yeah,
he's full of hoagie.
There were a lot of like people drinking at work in these movies too, because Altered States, like once William Hurt turns into a monkey man, there's like a janitor or a maintenance guy who is down in the basement, and he sees this guy and he like runs to the security office to be like, there's some sort of like animal loose down here. And the security guard, who has a great Boston accent, by the way.
I missed it.
Oh, yeah. He only has like three lines and they're all very Boston. It's pretty great because that's where it's supposed to be. So whether he put it on or not, I don't know. But the security guy's sitting there, he's eating a sandwich and drinking a Miller High Life while on duty.
You know, sometimes you just gotta drink at work. Mm-hmm.
And then in Strange Behavior, like, the police chief is sitting there with, like, the older police guy, and they have a whole fridge of nothing but
beer. I don't even know if that guy, older guy, was a police guy. I think he was just an old dude.
Just a guy who just hangs out there.
I think he was just, like, the assistant lawman.
Well, I think he retired a long time ago. Like
a long time ago,
he was the chief previously, and then he just didn't have anything else to do, so he just hung out and drank beer all day.
Everybody's just drinking beer. Everybody's fucking, you know, taking showers.
There was a lot of showers,
especially in that first movie.
Oh yeah. Oh my god, there was like seven showers in that movie.
I don't know why. It was a thing. It was just like, let's all take showers. So
it was just like, hey, shower.
Shower, 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 shower. So Dead Kids was pretty. I thought Dead Kids was all right. Mm-hmm. I'm calling it Dead Kids because it's easier. That's what I know it as. And it starred in the lead role, Billy the Kid from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, mm-hmm. as well as Nurse Ratched from One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yes.
And nobody else.
Yeah.
Well, a bunch of other, obviously.
Obviously
actors.
Other people, but yeah.
But yeah, it was a pretty wild movie. And then to cap it off.
Well, because we were supposed to have five movies.
Uh-huh.
One of them did not make it. And apparently it was going to be like either out of Korea or Japan. It's called The Cure. It's called Cure from 1997. And that didn't make it. That's what happens when you watch actual film. So it didn't make it. So that was fine. So the last movie that capped it off of our four movie marathon was, and I'm surprised Sean had never seen this movie. I have seen this movie.
I'm not surprised you have seen this movie.
Of course I've seen this movie. It was so not a shock. And I used to own it on VHS in The Mouth of Madness.
Yeah.
John Carpenter's in The Mouth of Madness.
Yeah, I've never seen
starring
it.
Starring Sam Neill.
Sam Neill, that's right. Yeah, well, because the thing is, it started
based
off
on a story by H.P. Lovecraft.
We started off with because it was like the next movie, and it's like, oh, well, obviously it's going to be something related to the theme, but they said Sam Neill, and I was like, It's like, oh, maybe Jurassic Park or Event Horizon. But
no, and I immediately go, oh my God, it's In the Mouth of Madness. And Sean goes, are you sure? I go, yes.
Yeah, you knew.
Because I used to own this movie on VHS.
Well, basically, we'll go ahead and you explain what this movie is.
So it's just basically about Sam. And it's such a weird premise for this movie. But Sam Neill is an insurance investigator. But he's a freelance insurance investigator because nobody pulls his strings.
He's just really good at making people, catching people in lies.
Yeah. So he is brought in by a publishing company run by Charlton Heston, who the biggest author they have, named Sutter Kane, has gone missing. So they want to find this guy. Because he needs to give them the final half of this book that's supposed to be coming out, In the Mouth of Madness. So I think it's kind of like they're going to put a claim in, like, if he doesn't show up, but whatever. Like, they have Sam Neill there. And Sam Neill's like, I will go find... I figured out that if you cut up all of his covers, it makes the state of New Hampshire, and I'm going to go to this place called Hobbs End, which is an actual location, even though it doesn't say it's on the map. And I'm going to go there... And I'm going to fucking find this asshole, and I'm going to bring him back, and you fuckers are going to have to stop lying. Because he thinks everybody's lying.
Yeah.
And so that's basically it, except Hobbs End doesn't really exist. It's a gate to hell. Sutter Kane is a conduit to all the horrible evils and Cthulhus and et ceteras that exist. And then as people start reading this book, they start going crazy. So they start murdering everybody.
Yeah, that's how the movie ends, with everybody just is like... Let's go fucking murder each other.
I mean, like, Sam Neill almost gets killed in the beginning by the guy who's Sutter Kane's agent.
Yeah.
Who tries to chop him, with an axe while he's, like, sitting at a pizza place in fucking Manhattan. It's a great movie.
Well, I like one of my favorite, because I think it's definitely a trailer moment, I think, where before you don't see him swing an axe, but he goes up to Sam Neill and he's like, do you read Sutter Kane?
It's yeah,
like, that's clearly like an ADR voice or something.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But I just love that.
Yeah, yeah. And then, great.
But also kicking soundtrack because John Carpenter knows what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
Also, I just also like in that movie that he is bigger than like Sutter Kane is bigger than like Stephen King.
Yeah.
By like, it's not even close.
Right.
Like billions of people read these fucking books.
Billions of people read.
And they read these books. And before the book's even coming out, people are fucking fighting each other. And,
yeah.
You know, just it's
such a good movie.
It's a ridiculous movie. I really enjoyed it, but it's just dumb.
Oh, it's so dumb. It is, like I said, it's one of those, like, this premise doesn't technically work if you really sit and think about it.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let's just go with it.
There's like there's some shit they didn't ever follow up on, you know. Of course, but it was wild, and it was a good way to end a horror festival, especially with somebody, you know, with a director, you know, like John Carpenter, just quality film, not just like yours ass, you know. But that was it was a good job. They did a good job on that thing. Elmo does, or was it, what was it, the AF, the American
American genre film archive.
Yeah, they basically partner with Elmo to do those things every year, and
it was fun.
I guess we'll take a quick break.
Yeah,
and we'll come back, we'll talk about Joker.
Hey everybody, Clinton Robinson here. I recently attempted to sneak into the Longbox Crusade headquarters basement to watch some of the Albrecht Brothers action movies while the crew was out at the Saturday matinee theater. Too bad I had a little mishap and got stuck down here, with no movies to boot. However, there are pieces of Pat's old podcasting equipment and excellent Wi-Fi service, so I decided to pass the time watching online fan films and talking about them. What, you don't know what a fan film is? Well, there are these non-theatrical movies that people post online of already established characters and settings. Ooh. Hey now, just wait and see. Save all judgment for what happens when you listen to Fan Film Fridays, a new podcast found on the Longbox Crusade podcast feed.
All right, we're back here at Worst Collection Ever. Well, we are talking about Joker 2019.
Spoilers.
Spoilers abound. Please be forewarned.
Mm-hmm.
If you would want to pause this and go see the movie, I suggest you would do that to get the most out of this. Or if you just don't give a fuck,
that's fine. If you're like me and don't care about spoilers.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't tend to care. So
I don't know. I'm surprised because a movie like Midsommar has like a bunch of twists in it, a bunch of shit going on in it.
Yeah.
And like I have yet to spoil it for myself, but I kind of don't know if I want to or not because I want to see the movie. You know, it's another movie I haven't seen yet. So
right.
Yeah. But so Joker 2019, directed by Todd Phillips, starring Joaquin Phoenix and Marc Maron.
Yeah.
Marc Maron was like
fifth build or something.
I think he was like fourth build.
Yeah, he was up there.
Because it was him. It was Marc Maron or it was Joaquin Phoenix. I want to say
Robert De Niro.
Zazie Beetz. And yeah, Marc Maron.
There's not a lot of people in this movie, let's be honest.
There really isn't. There's a bunch of random goons.
There's random goons, but honestly, just as far as like people who have actual speaking roles, there are not a lot of characters in this movie.
Well, there's also a lot of like him standing around doing shit.
There's a lot of dancing.
Yeah.
Anyway, a lot of underwear.
Oh, also, yeah, don't forget Brian Callen.
Also Gary Goldman.
Gary Goldman making
an appearance as a comedian.
This is definitely a comedy comedian. It's got some random ass people in it.
Yeah, it does. Because I was like, oh, hey, is that Gary Goldman? Yes, it is.
Probably. Yeah, I was like, it had to have been. The movie basically, we're not going to do a synopsis of it.
Basically, you know what the movie's about.
Well, another thing, too, is like, real quick on the casting, I thought his mother was Sissy Spacek.
Oh, no.
I was convinced that it was Sissy Spacek, but it's somebody else.
What the fuck is her name?
You know, but
she's been in so many things.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's character actors or whatever.
I know her name.
So the movie, obviously, look, you know what the movie's about? You got Joker, who is, his real shoot name in this movie is Arthur Peck?
Arthur Peck. Arthur Fleck.
Fleck.
Excuse me.
Arthur Fleck.
Arthur Fleck.
Arthur Fleck. And he is on a bunch of medication.
Well, okay. So it starts out, Frances Conroy is his mother.
Okay.
So it starts out where he's already been in a mental institution.
Yeah.
So it starts out with him having been released. How long he's been out, we don't really know.
Yeah.
But he is still under state mandated care to get his medication, to talk to a therapist, you know, because he's got a lot of problems, a lot of mental illness, you know, stuff like that. That's where we start with this. And I was reading some review, you know, comment. Don't ever read the comments. So like there was some guy and he was just like, yeah, you know, it was fine. I didn't really love it. You know, I thought it was disjointed or whatever. And the guy who replies to him is just like, obviously, you need to stick with movies and not watch a film, which The Joker is obviously a film, because this is about his slow descent into madness. And I was like, no, it's not.
he's already crazy.
He was in a mental institution before we even see him.
He's already got fucking problems.
He's not going crazy. He's already there.
Yeah.
So first off, that guy was wrong. And I just want to point that out here on the internet.
Yeah. So basically,
someone else was wrong on the internet.
So basically, he's out there doing odd jobs and
he's a clown, which he seems to really enjoy.
He seems a clown. I didn't understand. I thought he was just a clown for that place where he was holding the sign.
But apparently it's like a company of clowns.
It's a clown agency.
It's a clown agency where you like go and dress up and then your boss sends you to where clowns are needed.
Clown outsourcer.
Is that a thing? It's like being a cab and like getting sent to, you know, getting dispatched, much like taxi.
Yeah.
You work and there's a bunch of other dudes and then you go where your boss tells you to go. Because I was like, is there that much demand for a clown?
Apparently,
even in the whenever this is, late 70s, early 80s?
We're going to say 80. I'm going to say 81.
Ish. Yeah.
80, 81.
Yeah.
So I was just being born.
Me too.
We were just being born.
Yeah. And everything is gross. So, yeah. And he seems to like it, but he like gets, I mean, this guy gets his ass kicked like 14 times in this movie.
Oh, it's like a fucking Bruce Willis movie. Like, is it Bruce?
All the time. Why are people bothering him in the first place? Like, okay, those kids are shitty, but are they really gonna like kick his ass in the alleyway?
Yeah, like they're intent on beating up a clown with a sign and just fucking kicking the shit out of him and mugging him. It's like, you could have mugged anybody else.
That the clown doesn't have anything.
It's like, clearly he's not doing well because he's holding a sign for, he's doing the sign twirlies.
For a fucking store that's going out of business.
Going out of business, and he's dressed like a clown.
Yeah.
So what the fuck?
Which clowns still all look like 19, like Depression era hobos.
Yeah.
Which I don't get, like why their look has not been updated.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Maybe we're talking, well, no, I.
Because there was that one guy who was putting on the, like, who looked like, here based in Denver, Blinky the Clown, who was a hobo clown.
Yeah. Hobos.
You know, putting on the beard and whatever. So he gets his ass kicked by them. Then he gets... Now, this is the part that baffled me, because even though these are shitty finance bros who kick his ass in a subway car, if you've spent even a fucking day in a city with public transportation, the guy laughing to himself for no fucking reason is not the guy you fuck with. Because that's the crazy guy. If you are on... Like when we lived in Boston. If you're on the T... And some guy's just sitting to himself, just like laughing and screaming. Are you going to go fuck with that guy?
No.
No. No, you are not. You are going to leave that, because that is the guy who's
going to
stab you.
I'm not
going to
go up to the guy that's going, geez, and try to like.
Right? We don't.
Try to be like, hey, man, maybe you should tone it down a bit. He's like, geez.
Anybody got any spare change?
Anybody got spare change? I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of this guy.
No, that's literally how he was down.
You would just be like. Anywhere in downtown crossing, and just you just be here, change.
Yeah, and he was does anybody got any spare change? That's what that guy sounded like all the time. And he would just sit there and scream it for hours.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like one of those things. You're like, you're not gonna fuck with that guy.
No, you're not gonna try to reason with that guy. But no. but these bros, because these bros are like beaten up.
Apparently,
they're harassing a woman.
Yes.
And then he starts laughing.
So they're like. She leaves. She, because it's New York, it's Gotham, but it's New York-ish where you can like walk in between the cars.
Yeah.
Which you can't do. I've never lived in a city where you can do that. You're on the car until it fucking stops. So she leaves, goes to the next car, and they come over to like kick his ass, but they're like a bunch of like Wall Street bankers who work for Wayne Enterprises, which in this reality is... Basically just like a Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
Let's
put it this way. Thomas Wayne.
Huge dick.
Huge dick.
He fucking punches Joaquin Phoenix in the face.
He does a lot of weird. He's a fucking, like, he's a motherfucker in this movie.
Which is dumb.
It's dumb.
He's so dumb. Whatever. Because I will tell you right now.
He's basically like a Trump stand-in.
Yeah.
Or insert any
super assholey billionaire. Put him right here.
Yeah.
Because that's what he is. For me, I did not need any of this shit. No. Anything with Thomas Wayne. I mean, you could have referred to him on the news and I think I would have been fine. But actually, like... Oh, Joker's mom used to work for Thomas Wayne, and she's going to tell Joker that Thomas Wayne is his dad, even though it's not fucking true. But you're not really sure if it's not fucking true anyway.
But it's not true.
Thank God. Oh, hey, don't worry about it, because the Joker's going to go to Wayne Manor, and he's going to interact with Bruce Wayne as a child and put his fucking fingers in his mouth.
Yeah.
Like a goddamn fucking creep.
Hey, do you like the Joker? Do you like Batman? How about you like the Joker talking to Batman when he's a little kid?
It's exactly like that Patton Oswalt.
Oh, so are they like fighting each other? Nah, Joker's just putting his fingers in his mouth and shit.
It's exactly that fucking Patton Oswalt.
He's choke slamming Alfred through the fence. The fuck? I turned to you and I'm like, Alfred's a fucking jobber.
100%.
The Alfred who's, you know, compared to the Gotham Alfred who gets stabbed every episode.
Dude, that the guy.
And lives.
From the TV show Gotham. That Alfred got stabbed and dumped in a fucking garbage truck, and he still lived. And he didn't even contract any sort of horrible hepatitis.
Oh, he was fine. He was fine, like, the later in the episode. He's just like, Miss Master Wayne,
would you like an egg? He got stabbed three times in the fucking stomach, and he was just like, I'm okay.
Master Wayne, would you like an egg?
Can I take you out for pizza after you viciously beat your classmate?
Here's my watch. Go punch this child.
Use it as brass knuckles, sir.
But there's the thing. You see, like, because Bruce Wayne's just out there fucking around in his front yard. And, you know, the Joker's like, hey, I'm a clown. Hey, I'm going to start touching your face. Hey, I might be your brother. Hey, go get Thomas Wayne for me. And he's like choking Alfred. And Alfred's like, fuck off, whatever.
Yeah, I so did not need that. And then, of course, Of course. There is, you know, all the clowns. People are inspired by...
Well, so here, basically, let's break down a little bit. So he shoots these bros who sing Send in the Clowns.
Yeah, and I read this. I forget who wrote it, but I think I read it in the AV Club or something. But it was like, I think the most the reviewer said the most unbelievable part of this movie is that these three fucking frat bros would know every single verse of Send in the Clowns. These fucking three straight frat guys singing Send in the Clowns word for word.
Oh, yeah. They're nailing those parts.
Because I can tell you, I don't know any of that
song. You know what I know? What parts I know of Send in the Clowns?
Send in the Clowns.
That's it.
That's it. That's it. Right there.
That's it. That's all. So, but he... So they fuck with them. He shoots them. Like, he kills all... Like, he just run. He shoots... nobody's on this train. Nobody's on this train, apparently. Yeah. He just shoots a bunch of them on a train.
We do have to say that he has been fired from his job.
Oh, that's right.
At this point, he's on the way home because the guy who paints himself up like a hobo clown is like, hey, they are so scary. You know what you need to protect yourself? A gun.
Get a gun.
Here's a paper gun, a paper bag with a gun in it.
Yeah.
And a bunch of bullets. And so, of course, Joker brings it to his next gig, which is at a fucking children's hospital, and he drops it, and he gets fired.
Yeah.
So he has been fired, and he has his gun, and these guys fuck with him, and he shoots them. And then he runs away, and he goes to dance in a nasty bathroom.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, make sure we get some dancing in. We just like Tai Chi or some shit.
That's the thing about, I was like, is he doing Tai Chi in a bathroom? What is happening right now? But he like does a little dance or whatever. And people are inspired by this.
Yeah.
They're inspired that there's a guy.
It's like a Guy Fawkes kind of thing where everybody's wearing instead of those masks, they're wearing the face paint.
They're wearing clown masks.
Yeah. And so basically, there's these big rallies and they're basically they're like, look, you know, fuck rich people.
Yeah.
Fuck all these people. You know, fuck everything or whatever. But at some point, he starts. His mom has a stroke.
Yeah,
and she's in the hospital, and he's watching TV. And show on the TV is the show that they would watch. This Murray Franklin.
Murray Franklin.
Yeah, which is Robert De Niro. It's basically
Johnny Carson.
It's basically Johnny Carson. And although Johnny Carson that dances a lot, so it's kind of like...
It's like a Johnny Carson meets Conan.
Robert De Niro's just kind of like... He's like, hey, everybody, he's just dancing at his desk. And it's like... Just made me think of that Simpsons where it's like, only I may dance. Kind of rib. But so he's sitting there and they're... You know, he's like, hey, you know what was really funny? Somebody taped this at an open mic. Let's show it on my national televised show. You know, and it's Joker who at some point does a set of stand-up. And, you know, he's just saying these, you know, he's just doing his jokes. He's just trying and nobody's laughing.
Well, and he also has like something where he like, his laugh is a nervous tick.
Oh, that's right.
Which is something I hate. I don't like that.
As a character thing. Yeah.
For me... The Joker's laugh should have been a cultivated thing that he does to freak people out.
Right.
That's my personal opinion on it. I don't like that it's this, he had a head injury, so now he laughs inappropriately.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's, all right, whatever.
So yeah, so they show this thing on TV and everybody, you know, it's whatever, it's a viral sensation of sorts in 1981. Uh-huh. And somebody from this... You know, from the show calls him and it's like, hey, why don't you come on down and be on the show? And so he goes down to the show. And also,
we got all intents and purposes of shooting himself.
For all intents and purposes of doing a Budweiser. You know, hey man, nice shot.
Yeah,
you know,
that's exactly what it was.
And then he goes there and, you know, on the way there, there's like a big rally that's going to happen with all the clown.
So there's like a rally and people are all painted up like the clowns. He is,
well, also too, the cops are chasing him because they kind of they got heat on him for being the guy that shot the people in the subway. So something happens in the subway where a fight breaks out and the cops shoot some guys that are dressed like clowns,
right?
And all of a sudden, like, all hell breaks loose in the city. But he goes to
do this show while all this shit's going on. Of course, he's already killed his mother. He smothered her to death.
Well, because she basically
found out that she used to let her boyfriends beat him and that she was crazy.
And he's also adopted.
Yeah, he's adopted and she's like nuts and she used to be in an insane asylum too, because she's sure Thomas Wayne is his dad, even though it's not true, whatever.
I'm really glad that wasn't the true thing.
Oh,
I thought they were really going to be like, oh, this is true.
I would have walked out right then. I'd have been like, meet me in the lobby when you're done. Because I cannot. I cannot with these fucking family connections. I hate it. Everybody knows this. I hate it. Anyway, so he's like doing this thing. And he, of course, he has like green hair. He's just like already killed more people. He's killed like 5 people at this point.
What else did he kill?
He will remember the other clown.
Oh, that's right.
The little person clown, and then the guy who gave him the gun.
Yeah.
Came to his apartment to be like, hey, man, we found out your mother died. And he's like, yeah, cool. And then, like, he stabs the guy who gave him the gun because, like, he'd pissed him off or something.
Yeah.
But he did let the little person go because that guy was always nice to him.
Yeah.
So he let him go.
Yeah, be nice to people.
Yeah. Be nice. Or, yeah. You never know who might stab.
You never know who might be a joker.
Who might just decide to stab.
Yeah.
So he goes to this thing and he has green hair and he's up in his face paint and he's like, introduce me as the Joker. And Mark Maron's like, dude, we can't fucking put this guy on TV. And Robert.
Rightfully so.
He's right. He's like, we cannot.
One of the few
right
times
now
that Mark Maron is probably, you know, probably even Mark Maron realizes being the voice of reason.
Yeah. He's like, oh, wait, I am correct here. And fucking Robert De Niro's like, nah, good idea, man. Let's do this thing. So he brings him out and he just starts like ranting about how like people aren't nice anymore. And like, you know, when you don't treat people well and you get this problem and then like you really shouldn't, you know, defund people who need medical attention. I mean, really, to me, the whole point of this movie is people need a better safety net, social safety net.
Uh-huh.
But then he says, like, starts screaming, and like he goes on for like 10 minutes and nobody cuts the fucking feed. And right. I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
They would have cut him after 30. What are you even talking about right now?
Yeah, he would have been out of the way as soon as like things started getting weird.
Immediately cut to commercial. We're not, just, that's it. And there's no security, nothing. And then I did laugh because I have a sixth sense.
Well, no, we first had to mention, so at some point he's like, yeah, all this crazy shit's going on or whatever. It's like, by the way, I killed those dudes. And everybody's like, oh my God. Anyways.
Yeah. So he's like, whatever, going on and on and on. No one cuts him. Mark Maron's entire role is to just be pixelated in the background because you barely see him. He's like blurry.
Pow, I just shit my pants.
He has like,
pow, I just pixelated my pants.
He only has like 3 lines and he gets fourth billed in this movie.
Well, he's like one of the only other people that has like any name value in this movie. Let's be honest.
So, and finally he's like, you know what? I'm going to kill you. So he shoots Robert De Niro in the head, which honestly is pretty funny. And it's not supposed to be funny, but it's funny. Just like the way Robert De Niro dies is funny and it's not supposed to be. But I laughed. So he shoots Robert De Niro in the head and then they cut.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, bro, you would have. And there's no security. So everybody just runs and he just walks out.
He just walks out and everybody. No, no, no. The cops come and pick him up.
Oh, the cops do come and pick him up. But there should have been some sort of security to escort him off when he started getting fucking weird.
Well, whatever.
Whatever.
I mean, it's the 80s. Nobody cared.
Yeah, I guess not.
Nobody cared.
That's true. The 80s, nobody cared.
So yeah, but he I guess like this goes out to, because it's not, you know, it's this nationally televised show, so everybody sees it and like everybody in Gotham sees it and they're like, you know, there's the streets are on fire and everything's all fucked up, and
of course then we get my favorite thing.
Oh cool. Okay, so basically he's being escorted and they, you know, the police car, somebody ambushes the police car, they get him out and they're all like, Joker, woo. And then as that's happening,
I almost
forgot about this.
Oh my God, how did you? This was, and here's the part where I could have taken everything else, but I did not need this. Somebody is waiting for the Waynes outside a theater, and they follow him down an alley, and they shoot Ms. Thomas Wayne and Martha Wayne, and of course
we get them pearls.
We get them pearls getting ripped off her neck and fall into the street, and I was like, "Fuck you." I don't need this. I don't need this in this movie. What are you doing?
Why are you
I don't
doing
need
this?
Another. I don't need a Joker movie that is also a backdoor Batman origin story. I really fucking don't. Don't give it to me. I'm so over.
Are we going to try to tie this shit into fucking so whatever's coming up with Robert Pattinson being like, yeah, I would go see
everyone's like, oh, no,
Dragon Slayer 1981.
Man, this is so standalone. And I'm like, they literally make Batman in this fucking movie. What are you even talking about? So, and then that's like the end of the movie.
The movie ends.
And he ends in a mental institution.
Oh, I forgot about this too. Yeah.
Where he kills the lady helping him and he ends up running away from the guards, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah. Actually ends kind of on the Benny Hill sketch.
Yeah, it really
he kind of he's running through these halls and like
people are chasing him.
He goes one way, they're chasing another way. It's like, yeah. what the fuck is going on here?
I mean, for me personally, I don't ever need to see this movie again.
Nah.
I did not like it. I'm not saying that Joaquin Phoenix didn't do a great job. I thought he did.
Yeah.
I thought he did a really good job. There are some really, like, very arresting visuals in this movie. And it's very uncomfortable. And I understand that that's the whole point. But, again, it's really disjointed and it's really slow in some points.
It feels like a long movie.
It feels.
I know it's. And I think it is. It is like at least 2 hours.
You feel every minute.
But you feel it. And
yeah,
and it's there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of shit, just, you know, like his descent into madness. I'm like, he's already
fucking there.
I mean, I know he's on like trying to be medicated and stuff like that. And he's trying to do better, but
yeah, and there's a lot of stuff too, because you do see like he has like a quote relationship with like this woman down the hall, and you come to realize it's all in his head.
Yeah,
there's another part where you see like, you know, him talking to Robert De Niro at the very beginning, and it's all in his head.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of like unreliable narrator stuff where really you could say if he was in a mental institution before the movie started, does anything in this movie happen? Right? It could all
be in his head. It's a good point. Yeah.
That could all be in his head. There's a part where his mother has died and it's a 1980 refrigerator and he pulls everything out of it and he goes inside the refrigerator and the door shuts. Now, people our age and older will probably remember, not so much young kids because this doesn't happen anymore, but back in the day, people used to say, like, if you ever find a refrigerator, like, in an abandoned house or, like, in a field or in a junkyard, don't play in it because those refrigerator doors used to latch from the outside and you could not open them and people would suffocate in them. So that doesn't happen anymore. That's not a thing. But we're talking about – so I was like, when he went in there,
did he fridge himself?
You could, yeah. Did he fucking fridge himself? Yeah. Like, is the rest of this movie after this all in his head? Like his dying fantasy as he suffocates in a goddamn refrigerator? Like, you know, I don't know. It's possible. There's a couple points where you're like, wait, is this actually happening?
His last line is like, "Whoa, I got mustard." Dead.
He was just driving a school bus the whole time.
Oh, it's Otto. Nice.
Yeah.
See, we got all, it's all connecting. All these universes, yeah.
So, I mean, which is good because you've never... That's kind of what you want with the Joker. You don't really want to know the truth because there is no truth with the Joker.
True.
So, I mean, that part was good. But again, there's a lot of like really boring parts. There's way too much dancing. There's way too much like Joaquin Phoenix in his underwear.
Just posturing and...
Just doing weird underwear shit. And just dancing and just, it's, yeah, a lot of
smoking.
Oh my God. That was the other thing that we were talking about too. We were just like, so if this is the truth.
1981
is when
Bruce Wayne is 9.
Yeah. His parents get mowed down in front of him.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how old the Joker is supposed to be in this movie, but Joaquin Phoenix looks 45.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming the Joker is in his 40s. Maybe he's supposed to be in his 30s. Don't know.
It is the 80s, though, so it could be a hard 30s.
It could be his 30s. So, but at the same time, he does nothing but chain smoke through this entire movie. And I was like, by the time Batman gets old enough to go after the Joker's going to be like, got emphysema and pulling a goddamn oxygen.
He's not going to have any, it's not going to be any fight. He's going to be like, you're the Joker? He's like, kick, dead.
He's going to be like. And then the other thing that I brought up to Sean, too, was for me, I don't think you can make the Joker this creepy weird,
right?
Because he has to have enough charisma to make goons follow him.
Uh-huh.
And I realized, like, he started a movement. I'm like, did he though? I mean, not really. I mean, I guess that's what the movie tells me.
He just gave people an excuse.
He gave people an excuse they were already fucking looking for.
They were like, oh, great. Yeah, this is a clown guy. Yeah.
But for him to have a whole bunch of, like, fucking henchmen and goons that do his bidding, as we see that he does in the comics, he would have to be way more charismatic and able to manipulate people than he is here. Here, he can barely speak to anybody else.
Yeah, no, it's not, it doesn't seem plausible to me.
It is very implausible for that level of, you know,
of character that everybody's supposed to be like, oh, this is the character that, you know, he's a big crime lord. I'm like, is he?
Yeah, no, he's just a fucking loner weirdo.
Glad they didn't try to shoe in some like Harley Quinn origin too in there. You know,
she's being born.
He's in the hospital. It's like,
and like, look at this baby. You'll fuck her one day.
What is this? Fucking Twilight?
What is this, Twilight? Yes, exactly.
I'm also a wolf. Get ready for Joker Wolf.
It's like
wolf.
That SNL sketch where it was like, oh, time to meet your new wife. And they like bring out this much younger woman. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, this woman's like 24. And she's like, oh, but I won't be pregnant for another 5 years. My daughter is your future wife. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. I forgot what the sketch was. But yeah, no, that was funny.
I didn't like it.
I saw it. I got it out of my system. I mean, again, and I'll concur with you. I'm not just concurring. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of beautiful things in this movie. It's visually just things that are very interesting.
Uh-huh.
You know,
neat atmosphere.
There's performances that are really good. But as far as like a movie goes, I don't ever need to see it again.
No, I'm never good. Gonna see it again.
They made a Joker movie. Bravo.
Yep, good job.
And you found a way to kill the Waynes again. They should give them the Oscar. You should get an honorary Oscar for killing, for the death of a fictional character as many times as they've been killed.
Seriously.
We were talking about trying to figure out like how many times this actually happened in like these movies.
Yes, I was actually trying to figure out like if I took every single clip of the Waynes getting mowed down in every movie that I could find, how long would that clip be?
I don't think it's as many as we think it is, but it feels like it happens all the time.
At least five.
Well, if you're counting also Gotham, so TV.
Yeah, any representation in a visual medium.
I mean, I guess you'd also count the cartoons.
Yeah, but I don't know if you actually ever see that in the cartoons. I don't believe you do. I would have to go back, but I'm almost positive that it does not happen.
I'm pretty certain that like year one, that movie they did, Batman Year One, probably got that.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the animated series.
Right, I'm saying, but you're talking like every medium. You know,
everything. You'd have to see it in.
Well, obviously, it's Batman 89.
Bravo to Batman Returns for not rehashing.
That's why it's a good movie.
That's why it's great. It's a great movie. Actually, even Batman Forever didn't fucking rehash it. Even Batman and Robin didn't fucking rehash it.
Are we sure about that?
Batman Forever, I know, did not.
I mean, I know we had Robin's parents dying.
Yes.
I didn't know if there was a thing where it was like Batman's like, oh, my parents too, you know?
I don't remember. Maybe.
Yeah.
But then, so at least Batman 89, at least Gotham, at least Batman v Superman.
Oh, Bivis, Bivis really shelled it out for that one.
Batman Begins.
Because Bivis was like, hey, let's get some good actors from The Walking Dead to be in this movie, to play the Waynes.
Yeah. Okay, so what do we have? We have Batman 89, Bivis.
Yeah.
Don't they show it again in the Justice League? I don't remember.
They might.
Okay. Definitely Batman Begins, Gotham, and then Joker. That's five.
And I think we're going to probably get it in the Pattinson movie.
Oh, 100%.
I feel like we're going to. I really hope that his parents are played by Kristen Stewart and Tyre Lautner.
Without doing any research, I can absolutely say with no research whatsoever that there are five instances right now that exist.
I hope in the Batman Robert Pattinson movie, his parents are played by Kristen Stewart and Tyre Lautner, and they CGI Robert Pattinson's face onto a young boy.
No.
So we're just like they did the baby.
Yeah.
And then the Breaking Dawn. We just watched Breaking Dawn Part 2 today.
Unfortunately.
We did it for a movie. We did it for We Hate Movies. Don't judge us.
No, we did We Hate Movies because they dropped a commentary track on it.
But yeah, I hope that's what they do. We all just go, oh man. And
it's terrible.
Let's just lean into it, you know. But yeah, but anyway, so yeah, we got that and whatever. But it, the movie, look, the one thing too, that another thing too that I,
that speaking of we hate movies, I will cop one of their sayings. It's okay to like a movie.
Uh-huh. No, 100%.
So if you liked this movie, cool, man. I didn't like this movie.
No, I didn't.
It's all right.
And I just feel like it's
just not for me.
It's one of these movies that people are going to feel, and I could be just being presumptuous here, but people are going to like take it the wrong way.
Oh, yeah. It's like a Fight Club.
It's like a Fight Club kind of movie. And people are going to be like, oh, man, that's how Joker, you know, that's how this shit is, man. You know, whatever. It's like,
it's right. The way you get your thing across is by blowing a talk show host away, bro.
Yeah. I think it's just, I just don't want that to be the case, because I feel like a lot of people already, you know, have that attitude towards the Joker character. Like, it's just a, you know, it's such a,
yeah,
a chaotic
again, yes,
character that people, I don't know.
And that's also something, you know, for me, I am not a Joker fan.
I would say a lot. I was going to correct myself. I would say a lot of people. Some people do.
Some people. And there are some people who are like super into the character of the Joker. I am not one.
It's a very interesting character.
It's a very interesting character, but I'm definitely not one of those people.
I've never had, well, I'm not saying, I'm not as much of a Batman person as you are. But
yeah, but,
yeah, I mean, I've never really
take or leave the Joker.
Yeah, like, I'm not really crazy about that as a
him. I like him as a villain. I want to keep him as a villain. I don't need backstory. I want to know nothing about him. That is what I want out of my Joker.
I enjoy the Joker, and anytime Mark Hamill's voicing him.
Of course.
And
yes, 100%.
Anytime
he's
I'm
great.
Playing as him in the Lego game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I also enjoy, which I don't own yet, but I do, I want to own it, the super powers counter Joker figure.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's talk. We've talked enough about Joker.
So yeah, that's our thought. Again, you know.
Again, it's okay to like a movie.
Yep.
If you guys really like this movie, you know, that's cool. I'm just saying, it didn't vibe for me, and there's a lot of things in it that bothered me more than actually things I enjoyed. And that's usually kind of how I feel about certain movies, where it's like, if it just something bothers me, I don't really want to revisit it. I don't really can't really feel, you know, comfortable saying, oh, it's a good movie. So that's just how
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
But I guess that's it. We've already gone over an hour.
Shit.
So I didn't think we were going to do as long of a show as we did, but here we are. So we'll put this out, and we should be back on track later this week as well. So you guys will get a whole bunch of stuff. And if you're new to listening to the show via this article in Westwood, hello.
Hello.
Hopefully you'll stick around. Hopefully you'll tell your friends about the show. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, it's all there. We gave it at the top of the show. And yeah, and please, if you are rating our show on your platforms, please give us a 5-star review if you think we deserve it. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, that's
I just want to say, if you have any interest whatsoever in the X-Files, I am currently writing X-Files reviews of the entire series. I'm only on episode 3. Send help and booze, but you can read them at my blog, jenstansfield at .wordpress.com.
Yep, check it out.
Check it out.
All right, folks.
If you're on the West Coast, you know, since we shouted out We Hate Movies, if you're on the West Coast, they are going there in November. Maybe you should go there too.
Yeah. Yeah. They will, former guests on the show, Andrew Drupin and Steven Sadak.
Yeah. So you might want to check
it out. So if you are new to this show,
we'd plug that since we copped their phrase.
Well, we have all of our shows are still on Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts. So like the whole backlog is there all the way back to 2014. So, you know, and that was an episode we did with them a couple years ago, where we talked about X Factor and Batman. We talked about the Technomics.
Yes, we do.
So yeah, you can go back, and if you're a fan of just check out the past shows. We really encourage
We're
that.
Fun.
A, we are fun. We had a good review. I felt pretty good about myself when I see that. I know that'll wear off soon enough.
Oh yeah, no, I feel like crap again. Don't you worry.
Well, my back threw out, so I'm kind
of, yeah. Sean's where I was.
I guess that's my price of feeling good.
That's very Catholic of you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, usually it goes back to there. We're going back to the Catholic stuff.
Yeah, that's very Catholic. You're like, oh, one good thing happened to me. That is why I'm suffering now.
Oh boy. All right, folks. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.